Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Patty, and we're going to do something really special right now. It's making me smile. I am sitting here with Barbara, and Barbara is the one who did the podcast with me, and we called it Do You Need to Quit Drinking? Barbara shared her story with candor and humor and her vulnerability, which was absolutely beautiful, and shared with everybody what it was like to go from some pretty heavy drinking into getting clean and sober. And we're doing this podcast today because Barbara just had her one-year anniversary on April 12th, 2024. And I am just reveling in that with her and for her, and I'm so impressed and have deep respect for this woman and the journey she has taken and shared with such vulnerability to the world. And I've also told her that that podcast has helped so many people. We've had a lot of people that have listened to it, and I have shared it with other clients and said, listen to this and see if it speaks to you. I know of a whole bunch of people that that podcast has helped to get clean and sober and to change their life around. So I wanted to honor Barbara, having made her 1 year, and just offering her an opportunity to share what it's like. So Barbara, say hi.
Hi, Dr. Patty. It was just so wonderful to run up here again and celebrate with you and remember how I started out with you. And I'm very grateful for the guidance you've given me. I'm so grateful to be celebrating this with you today. I made it to a year. And I know I promised I would stop counting. A year and 4 days. And we're going to stop counting. And thanks. We've been working together for a while now. And good results.
You have grown exponentially. Well, and thank you. It's beautiful. But can you share with the people that want to hear your journey, what did it feel like when you reached a year?
It made me wonder if somebody, if a person was sentenced for a year, what it feels like to get out, what it feels like to be locked up for a year and then to get out, because just marking a year in time, I felt a little gate in me open and say, I did it, I served it. It is a little unusual for me, not now, but it's a little unusual for me to commit to do something for a year. And to do it.
And do it well.
And to do it without cheating.
Yes.
Without cheating.
You did it with immaculate behavior.
I have been able to accomplish a lot, but not in a straight line. And not on the beam, as we say in AA. On the beam. What do you do to stay on the beam? I thought that was the most fascinating question a few weeks ago at a meeting. And I wanted to share after a week and a week after, see, I do have trouble counting. After a year and 2 days, I was at an artist retreat that I go to every year, and I've gone to for about 23 sessions. And there's a good friend of mine there that I see there, and we've always enjoyed our wine together there. And at the end of the evening, about 9:30, before we're going to end the day, she came over with a beautiful bottle and said, hey, are you still drinking Chardonnay? It was 9:30 at night. I was by myself. It was the first time that I haven't lied to myself. That was the first time that I said, I thought really quickly, I really could. And then I could pretend it never happened. And this is the first time that I knew I couldn't pretend it never happened. One great big change in my life, Dr. Patty, is that lying is no longer an option.
I love that.
And yes, and again, we had talked about the use of alcohol. I can drink myself into a good lie, and I can drink because I told a lie. So take that out, and that really clears up a lot.
So how did you answer
her? Big ones, omission, commission.
Yes.
I said, Connie, thank you so much. It looks so delicious. I don't drink anymore. And my friend Connie started to tell me why she's still drinking. And I said, absolutely good with me. You have very
I'm not telling you what you should do.
I'm good. I'm good. It looks good to me.
Oh, I love that. You know, you just said something that's really cool. One of the things that you worked on a lot was your vulnerability to yourself and your being able to say, I am becoming radically honest, first with myself and then with the world and with others. Because we talked about lying by commission, actually telling a lie, lying by omission, purposely leaving things out, and lying by assent, allowing somebody to believe something that's not true. And many alcoholics lie by omission. That thing we talked about where you down the first glass of wine and you pretend like the second or third is really your first, mm-hmm. that's lying by omission. Lying by assent would be allowing somebody to believe you're not drinking when you are, or that you haven't been drinking when you did. So alcoholics get adept at lying by commission, omission, and assent. But so do a lot of people, whether they're drinking or not. And I just love how you have done this intense moral inventory with yourself, where you've said, I want to be radically honest with myself, and I want to tell the truth to other people, and I want to call myself on it if I slip up. And I love that about you. I mean, you have just evolved so beautifully within yourself. It's the wisdom is cool. It's really cool.
Thank you, Patty. You left out our agreement about the six people I would have to call if I wanted to have a drink, you being one of them. Yes. My sponsor being another of them, and he would be, I think he would really be unhappy if he had to change my sobriety date on the inside of his book.
Yes, he would be.
He appreciates that he's never had to change my date.
I love that. And that's a point of honor.
My dear man.
Yeah. He's been very good for you, and he's been a dear, dear sponsor. The stories you've told me about him make me smile. And you can tell him that I gave him a hug when you see him.
I will. I admire. He gives a lot to a lot of people. And I hope it all comes back to him. He's the one who reminds me that by helping me stay sober, I'm helping him stay sober. And that is one of the reasons to go to AA long-term. We've talked about how I'm going to stop and analyze at different points. Does this still work? Mm-hmm. And 1 year point, of course, is one of those points. How much am I in or not in AA? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm always in AA, once in, always in.
How often are you going now?
I've been going 2 to 3 meetings a week. Mm-hmm. And I've been going 2 to 3 meetings a week. It's a very good routine for me. Mm-hmm. And I want to stay open to the fact that I'm going there for other people as well as myself.
Yes, it's reciprocal.
Because then it takes a different form. I'm not drinking. I don't feel that I'm in danger of drinking. However, there are a lot of growth components to AA that we've talked about before, mm-hmm. That have more to do with principles and living. And for me, a place that I'm understanding is a pretty common place to get stuck, and that's spiritually, mm-hmm. because when I'm drinking, I'm not growing, right. And I'm making my world smaller instead of bigger. Mm-hmm. And it's AA is a pretty interesting place to observe a lot of people in spiritual development on driving all different vehicles.
Right.
Different ones.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And that's a very interesting setting. Mm-hmm. It's kind of church for me, mm-hmm. but there's nobody in the pulpit, and there isn't any, as they say, higher power, mm-hmm. description beyond that.
Right. And you can define that for yourself how you want.
Yes, because there isn't any other definition.
Well, and everybody's accepted.
Or not defined.
Yeah, everybody's accepted, which is a beautiful thing that we don't find all the time in this world, that you can be who you are without trying to please somebody or fill some shoes, and you get accepted for who you are as you define what that is for you. And I've watched you been looking at that, and it's been really cool to watch you explore that.
All I have to do is show up and something will happen.
I love that.
Anybody has to do is show up.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll step out of that river a little bit different person. That's just the way it goes. Maybe an hour doing anything, but if we want to spend an hour, if I want to spend an hour looking at how I'm living, that's my best place to go. That's
I
my
love
best
that.
Place to check in.
And that is spiritual growth. It's looking at the world from, instead of a gotta do angle or trying to impress someone angle or trying to do something, you're just saying, I want to go be for an hour and walk out of there a little bit better.
That's right. Staying in the middle of the bus for me is really important.
And has been a very cool growth factor for you.
Absolutely. Staying in the middle is very hard for me, Patty.
But you've done such a beautiful job with it and have grown so much from it. So after a year, and you're still going to meetings and you're still invested.
Oh, I have a job.
You have a job. And what is that?
I am the coffee person.
I love that.
The coffee person at the Sunday meeting,
mm-hmm.
which I love. And I can't tell you how much I love being the coffee person. And I'm so grateful there's no smoking anymore, because people used to start out as the ashtray person.
Ew.
I know. I could have done that too.
You would have had to. But
I would have been fine with it, frankly, but it just sounds yucky, you know. But the coffee person, so... Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. You're doing seva, which is selfless service to God. That is selfless service to others. And so you're doing seva, which is good for your heart.
I am.
You're making coffee and it's cool.
I'm making coffee and I'm open to anybody.
But you know what? You said something really neat when you first sat down here before we turned mm-hmm. on the recorder. You said that something really important at this stage in my sobriety. And that was for you to learn to help others, to encourage others, to be there as in their journey of sobriety. And speak to that a little bit, because I think that's what a lot of what AA is about, from what you've taught me and from what other clients have taught me. Where are you now in your journey with AA? Besides that you get stuff out of it for yourself.
Where I'm at with AA, I feel fully involved in the fellowship. I'm close with my sponsor and stay in close communication with my sponsor, meet with my sponsor every week and go to meetings. Not positive about the future. I know I will go to AA. I don't know how many days. I don't know how many times. I don't mm-hmm. know what my schedule will be. We talked before. You go to AA until you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something stirring. I mean, I know now what other people have said. You know when you haven't been to a meeting for a while.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of like when you haven't been to church for a while. And
you feel a little disconnected.
If you're a church celebrant and you haven't mm-hmm. been for a while, it's like, I better go to church. I better go to AA. And I am, my background is political and social strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to avoid that here. So there are a lot of opportunities for leadership and representation. It is a big old organization.
Oh,
It's layers and layers and layers. Mm-hmm. And there are many roles for people to play in service.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank them for their service when they're willing to go to a meeting, for heaven's sake, in Weaverville on a Sunday. That's fantastic. I am sitting in the room. My service is largely in the room with those people. I am absolutely there with you. I'm absolutely available to you. And wherever I go all the time, I'm very aware. I share what I'm doing with mm-hmm. people as appropriate, and they know I'm there. My friends who drink, if it's ever a problem for them, I hope they'll call me.
Yeah.
I hope they'll call me.
And they probably would, because you are so accepting and loving and kind about it. If they called you and said, talk to me about how you got clean and sober, you would do that without judgment.
I know I have certainly called a couple of women that let me know they got sober some time ago. And after I stopped drinking, I phoned them and let them know that, because it's a really nice chain. And of course, they're very happy. If anybody ever calls, I'll be so happy.
Yeah.
You know, my neighborhood, what can I do? I can just stand right there and it will come to me. It will come to me.
Well, and you're open. Your heart's open. Your arms are open. You're available.
Absolutely.
And so you go to a meeting and you're available. And for you to do service making coffee is beautiful.
It's because my job.
It's your, well, and you're smiling. I love it.
Oh, yes. It's very, it is.
And it's neat for you to not try to rise to the leadership role, because that would be, you'd be awesome at it because you're good at that stuff. But you're really following your own credence that you wanted, was to stay in the middle, to serve, to be available, to stay sober, to go to meetings. Like, I remember when you said to me once, I need to go check on my people. I haven't been to a Tuesday meeting. I need to go check on my people. That, because they're your fellowship. They're your friends.
Oh, they're going to think I'm drinking. No, you're right. You're right. I need to go check on them for them. Oh, but they're going to think I'm in a ditch. No, you're right.
Is it okay that you want to go show them that you're working your program? I think that's okay.
I think it's okay, too.
I think you all need to hear that from each other, because it encourages you to stay with your stuff.
If I'm complacent, then I'm not working on something. And if we're not working on something, then we're not really living. I'm fully alive right now. I'm fully aware of change, movement, how much is ahead for me right now, a whole other life. That's all, just a whole other life.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
I think it's awesome. And you just said the key words. I'm so alive.
Right?
You're so alive. And you have changed your relationships. You've evolved. You've been working your steps. It's just amazing. And you know what's really cool? AA is free.
AA is completely free. Yeah,
it's free. So when people say, I can't afford to go to therapy, or I can't go, or, you know, is there a meeting when I can go when I get off work or whatever? The answer is yes.
And you know there is.
There's a meeting.
Yeah, your move.
Yeah, exactly. So it's about just walking in that door that first time, like you did a year and 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have changed so much around you and so beautifully. It's absolutely incredible.
I didn't want to take notes, but I did not want to miss out on my little list that I just thought of coming up here today about what changes when you haven't drunk for a year. And this is mine.
Okay.
My balance.
Ah.
My patience. My card shuffling.
You card shuffle
awesome.
Better.
Awesome. My eyes.
Your smile
There's
goes.
No yellow in my eyes.
Oh, your eyes are crystal clear white.
My eyes.
And your smile goes all the way to your eyes.
My smile goes in my eyes. My sleep. My gosh, I don't go to sleep under the influence of alcohol, and I don't wake up under the influence of alcohol.
Okay.
Awesome. My skin is better. My memory is better. My stomach is so much better, and I don't know any women out there drinking. I don't know anybody who doesn't have little stomach issues at a certain age, and drinking really does affect your digestion and your stomach, and that stomach ache sometimes. And my awakening in the morning is excited and not fearful. And on the down, I feel like my social skills have suffered because, you know what, I don't want to sit here and talk with you for hours while we drink.
You found a better thing than sitting.
I have trouble now sitting for a long time after dinner, or for a long time.
So drinking made you more patient to visit.
It made me maybe a better conversationalist, although we know not truly, truly, but it let me sit there longer and, you know, have the repartee that... I just, I am more introverted than I thought. I don't want to chat. You know, that's...
But look at this. You and I could sit here and talk for 3 hours.
Yes, we could.
And there's no alcohol on board. And we'd be talking real. We wouldn't be talking esoterically. And we wouldn't be talking about things. We'd be talking real. And real is easy. Visiting and socializing and talking about things and is not as easy as real.
Or 2 hours after dinner.
Yeah.
Is not natural with me anymore. And I'm terribly sorry, but I need to go home.
Yeah.
And I do.
And I think you have to follow that. So just remember that you do real really well.
Thanks.
You do. And that's why you and I could sit here for hours and talk about real stuff. So you've lost patience for frivolity and surface chatter.
However, I have gained, the biggest of all, is my ability to realize and process my emotions and deal with them in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe the biggest thing on the plus side that surprised me was that there were times that I was crying a lot, that I was moved by music, that I was moved by seeing a child. I was also moved to tears and great sadness when a really dear friend of mine moved away. I felt like I lost that friend, and she moved to the East Coast. And I know myself well enough that what I do is like, find friend. Good luck finding friends like us. Good luck. Probably, I'll see you. We'll probably visit. But okay, and not recognizing that loss. It was a real loss. And I found myself crying about it and recognizing that it felt like a real loss, while still propping her up, not wanting to put that on her, but realizing, you know, I really, really, really am sad about this. And it was a lot of us who drank, I almost said drink, drank.
Past tense, yes.
Many of us who are alcoholics, and I know this, my very scientific test in the rooms, I hear this related so often: abandonment, loss of a parent, loss of a really important relationship, loss. Women have go through a lot of loss, sort of men, and to register a loss emotionally in the time.
Yes,
I recognize that is a huge issue. I don't know that I've really, really, really grieved some big people in my life that I've lost properly. I think I deferred that.
Or drank that under.
At their very funeral. I mean, yeah, that's... So this is a very different way to deal with emotions.
Well, and this is what I was referring to when I was saying you're so much more emotionally developed and you're more evolved in who you are and your self-awareness. That you went, I'm sad, I'm going to be sad. And at the same time, I want to support my friend who's moving away, so I'm going to support my friend who's moving away while I'm sad. Yeah. How beautiful is that?
Pretty beautiful.
It's evolved. It's emotionally developed.
It felt a lot more important than it sounds. When I say it, I was like, but it felt pretty profound to feel the sad emotion when the sad thing is happening. You know, not... wake up 3 weeks later and it's come to the top of the mind, you know, it's finally come to the top and I still don't want to think about it. So
you're doing it in a much more evolved way, much more self-awareness, much more real in the moment. You don't shove it aside and work for 3 weeks not to feel it, and then you finally feel it because it sneaks up on you. You're doing it for real in the moment, which is emotional development. It's so interesting to talk about this too, because the next podcast that I've already planned out to do is on emotional development. Are you emotionally developed? And so this is a really good example that I'm going to use in that podcast.
Okay, good.
Because emotional development is something that people need to strive for. And I want you to see something really, really cool. You could have spent the last year basically sleeping, right? Not yes. evolving, not growing, not doing anything. But you have spent the last year growing by leaps and bounds because you pushed yourself to keep going. When you first got clean and sober, and it was really, really hard. Remember, you'd go to sleep because
yeah.
you were trying not to drink.
In the middle of the day, yes.
Remember how you told me that you were a drinker while you cooked. Mm-hmm. So cooking a beautiful meal came with a bottle of wine you were drinking while you cooked the beautiful meal. You had to not cook for a while because it was triggering you to drink. But you let yourself see that and hold that and evolve with that. You have spent the last year growing exponentially when you could have spent the last year sleeping and getting nowhere. And that testimony is huge. And you're not 20 years old. You know, you're not 40 years old. So when you do this, it's never too late.
I am so agreeing with you, and that's been the big surprise. The big surprise is there is so much ahead. And I would tell anybody who is interested in this change is do it scared, if mm-hmm. that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
And do it without any fear of looking back at this time. Just forward facing.
One step in front of the other. And it's one of the reasons AA says one day at a time.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Because you're forward facing and taking that next day. And then that next day, and then that next day. And here you have 369 days.
Yes, I do.
Of sobriety.
Now you're a compulsive counter, too.
No, I'm a compulsive counter. Well, I've watched your days.
Yeah, I know.
You just, I have such incredible respect for your journey. And in no way want this to sound condescending, but I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you and so in awe of your bravery in the face of terror at times.
It would sound condescending if I didn't really appreciate, and I do want to clarify how big part you took in my recovery.
I was honored to be part of
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you trusted me.
Well, you're somebody I could really be very honest with. And whether this is the time to be honest or you're the person with whom I can be honest, it doesn't matter. It's a wonderful life.
You are just...
It's a wonderful life. That's a great movie. And it's a
yeah.
true statement.
Oh, I love that movie. Yeah. And you're kicking butt. You're just...
By doing nothing, the more I slow down, the more alive I'm feeling.
I know. And you know what? You're taking each piece as it's put in your hands and you're dealing with it. You are current. You're looking at things regularly. I loved it that when we first sat down together before we turned on the recorder, you were talking about taking kind of a moral inventory every morning and every night and saying, have I been who I want to be today? Have I slipped in any place that I find important? Do I need to make amends anywhere? Do I need to own some behavior that I've done that doesn't live up to what I want for myself? I think that's just incredible.
Well, it's a very wise program, and that's a step.
It is a step.
And one of the things I have struggled with, that one is certainly easier for me than the one before, which is to go back and clear the wreckage. Mm-hmm. Don't close the door on it, but take care of that. Take care of those people that may have been damaged or that maybe I've hurt. And so that is one. That's a step before. And then we grow into, okay, now just let's make it daily. Let's not let this stuff accumulate.
Right.
Now, I'm really, really, really happy that I was able to go forward while stuck on 9 which is making amends, going back and fixing with people. I will continue to work on that, but I can still also go to, I can go forward. And 12 is where we are of service to other alcoholics.
You're already doing that too.
And I'm good now.
You're making coffee on Sunday meetings.
I am the coffee person. Maybe someday I can be the birthday chip person. You never know. I'm trying to work my way up to that. I volunteered and somebody said, you already have a job. And I thought, there you go, trying to get to the front of the bus again.
Mm-hmm. See, and I love that awareness about yourself and that you're saying, I'm not going to do that.
No.
I think it's a beautiful awareness, and you do it with such grace and humor. I love it. But this is what the gift of AA has given to you, that it is a program that is tried and true and has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to reinvent anything. You just show up. You just show up.
You just show up. And if anybody may be surprised about how funny it is sometimes, how much warmth and laughter there is in the room.
Yeah.
My fear, as I said before, I thought it was a grim place.
Yeah.
There's some grim places. You know, it doesn't have to be. But AA is every place. And sometimes it has to be in grim places, too. Yeah. It's also in pretty places. And it's pretty outrageous to hear what some people are laughing about. Mm-hmm. I think, oh my gosh, I'd never say that to anyone that I ever did that. And they're laughing about it. Everybody's laughing. Just letting go of mm-hmm. that wreckage.
There's accepting yourself for who you've been mm-hmm. and who you are now. And who you are now doesn't always reconcile with who you have been. So that's why you go back and own it. And make amends. Amends is not about groveling. It's about owning it. And whether they accept you or not for you owning it or allow you in to own it or not is not nearly as important as your own self-awareness.
You know, I just thought as you were talking, Patty, because I've said I'm a little bit stuck there. But the chance to own it and not just to apologize for it, but maybe to recognize that it didn't just go away or get hidden.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I don't want to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting through discomfort. And
yeah,
sorry to be thinking out loud, but I think I really avoid discomfort.
I think we all naturally avoid discomfort.
We don't just run right toward discomfort.
Often. Not usually, yeah. No. But think about it. When you go to make amends, are you doing it to clear the other person for liking you better? Or are you doing it to own yourself fully? Because whether they meet with you or not, whether they forgive you or not, whether they say, oh, it's okay, is not the be-all to end-all. It's that you stepped into the arena and said, this is a person I need to make amends to. They might not even let you in to make amends. They might not listen.
No, I've heard the full spectrum of responses.
Yeah.
Some people, very grateful, I've been waiting for it. And some people, that it will not be accepted. Mm-hmm. And then the scary one, some people go, not just that, but you know what else you did, and you know who else you are, and you know how else you made me feel, da 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 da. And to set the table, I guess, by saying, I want to go through this process with you, and I'm not the same person that I was then. My fear is, am I not the same person that I was then? Or will that person believe or not believe that I'm not the same person I was then? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And that is attachment to outcome. That's you asking, are they going to believe me? Are they going to see it? Are they going to know? Are they going to accept that I've grown and I'm different? And I think the first place you address the fear is, do you know you've grown? Do you know you're different? Do you know you bring a different you to the arena to talk to them? So then their outcome, they forgive you or not, they embrace you or not, they tell you what else you did that was horrible. It is not about their response. It's not attachment to their outcome for your amends. It's about you stepping into it and saying, I accept this about myself, and I know I have evolved, and it's important to me to own it. And you already do that beautifully, and you're doing it every single day. Mm-hmm. You're evaluating the day and saying, did I slip up anywhere that I need to own to myself? Even if it was to myself, I wasn't straight with myself. You're not afraid to own it every single day because you know you're being your best self as best you can.
It's amazing how often I fool myself.
We all do.
Do we?
But the more emotionally developed you are, the more you say, that was stupid, or that I shouldn't mm-hmm. have said that, or I need to make amends for that, or I need to call the person and apologize for my dumb joke, or I need to whatever. But you're doing that so consistently on a daily basis, but you're attached to the outcome of when you go to do it for your past mistakes. And it's short-circuiting you. That's what I'm hearing you say. Mm-hmm. And it's something, you know, the hold the dog shit moment, you know? It's something for you to put in your hands and say, if I go to this person and say, I want to make amends for I know how I hurt you with my drinking in the past, and they pile four more things on there, I think you're emotionally developed enough to say, wow, I didn't know that too. And I realize I hurt you in a bunch of different ways. Because so often we hurt people in not just one dumb little way. We have a series of behaviors, usually around being emotionally undeveloped. And then how do we hide our emotional lack of development? Drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, shopping, gambling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are many, many ways. A day that I'm quiet and I don't do anything to destroy that flow is a very, very good day. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm throwing the monkey wrench now. I can feel it. I can feel that nest in my hair that Michael talks about. You know, the worry and the anger. Mm-hmm. When I feel it, it's because I'm building that nest in my hair.
You're so much more self-aware. And with vulnerability and honesty. So remember that about yourself, because you don't need the outcome of anybody you go to make amends. You don't need to relieve them of a burden. You don't need to fix them. You don't need to make them love you more or accept you more or see your journey, because you see your journey and you know what you've done. So let go of attachment to outcome as you step forward to make amends. And I have every confidence that if somebody comes back at you and says, you were a horrid person back then, that you'll go, yes, I was. I was a good person in a lot of ways, and I hid a lot with alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I could just see you owning that without shame, with awareness, with a smile on your face.
Let's do it. My plan, of course, is to do it.
Of course you will.
I had a, I think we talked before the tape was on, AA makes it, says it's important to make a distinction between prudence and evasion. Mm-hmm. And I think I have actually made plans to talk with somebody to make those amends, and I came home and realized, oh, I forgot to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm.
You were prudently evasive.
Tricks. Yes. That was evasive.
Yes.
That was.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
I completely forgot.
Because you weren't ready. You weren't ready.
I didn't want to disturb the pleasant air. So there you go.
I think that's holding the dog shit. Mm-hmm. You just hold it and look at it and say, why did I do that? Without beating yourself up.
Well, the time will be right and I'll remember to do it.
Absolutely. You'll be ready. And I have no doubt you're going to do it exactly at the right time for you. And I think you trust yourself much more now than you did before.
I do. I do trust myself more. I do trust myself.
I know. I hear it. And it's really pretty beautiful.
That was the last person I trusted. That was not safe to
trust. Would you say that
before.
One more time? You blew right by that. That was important.
I definitely would not be the person I would have trusted before. Is that what I
said? And you trust yourself now.
I do trust myself now.
Barbara, how profound is that? I would not have been the person I would have trusted before. I trust myself now.
Oh, yeah.
Think of the huge amount of evolution in the past year you have made. And emotional awareness and emotional development and peace of mind and loving yourself. That all that statement entails. It gives me chills.
Yeah.
I would not have been the person I trusted before. I trust myself now.
I do. I made a little joke to to my sponsor again, and it was 365 days, but you don't make 1 year until 366 days. So 365 days, and I said I was on this retreat. And I said, Michael, wouldn't it be just like me to drink tonight and just like blow it on the 1 day before a year? And he goes, you know, actually, that sounds nothing like you. I thought, oh, because that sounds so much like me to me, but it doesn't sound like me to you. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's really cool.
I know that was. You know, I'm no longer the person who shows up late, who maybe doesn't show up, who's careless with you. I am not the person that I was.
You have evolved. You have spent the last year growing exponentially.
And can people change? That's always a question. That's just a perennial question, and I think it's such a good question in the room. And someone in the room that I would not have trusted to enlighten me, said, when we're drinking, there are times in our life that we're doing things that stop us from growing. And so whether we can change or not, when we stop drinking, we can start growing again. Whether that's change or growth,
yeah,
maybe it doesn't matter, but I thought, yes, people can change.
It's like moving a plant into the sunlight.
Yes.
You shine the light on it, and it starts to grow.
Yeah, I don't know. Did the plant change? Did the conditions change?
Did everything change?
Oh, this is going to be longer than a podcast.
Well, I'm so glad you came here to my office to do this today.
I'm so glad you asked me to do it. Agreed with me. We did something.
We did something.
We knew that we'd do it, Eddie.
I think everybody that has been helped by your podcast, I Need to Stop Drinking, or Do You Need to Stop Drinking, exactly how I entitled it, needed to hear this, of what comes as you gain insight and sobriety, as you grow. They needed to hear this from you. And you, in true Barbara fashion, have done it with articulate speech and vulnerability. Which, again, will help a whole lot of people.
I really hope so. I would be so happy to be in a room when you walked in, listener. And if it's not me, it's somebody. And we're just all over the place.
Yes.
And it's hard, but nothing good ever came out of easy. So anyway, I hope it's out there, and I hope it does some good.
I think it will.
Thank you.
How can it not?
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you, Barbara, for being just who you are.
Thank you.
And doing such a beautiful job with all of this and sharing it. I love you, too. All right, this is Dr. Patty, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time. And my dear friend Barbara helped with this episode to help heal other people.
I'm still trying to heal myself one person at a time.
Aren't we all? It's the human condition. None of us have arrived yet. We are a work in progress. So thank you, everybody. We will be back soon.